Dr. Gabrielle Forman and her graduate students, Jim Casey and Sarah Patterson, created an online archive that highlights early Black organizing.
The Color Conventions Project is a digital humanities project that brings buried 19th century African American history to digital life for large audiences.
In the 1800s, delegates met in national and local conventions to discuss a plethora of issues that worried and mobilized them. Issues like education, legal restrictions on Black populations, and labor. Up to 2,000 people could be in attendance. Many of the meetings were held in African Methodist Episcopal churches and Baptist houses of worship. The first convention took place in Philadelphia in 1830, and the last one happened in Macon, Georgia in 1888. The movement began when a group of around 1,000 Black people traveled from Ohio to Canada after facing violence from the local community. In Canada, planning began for the first convention.
It's this, again, a wide swath of communication in the 1830s, right? That allowed people in Philadelphia to say, we've got to address the violence against African-American communities. And delegates were chosen from local communities, so they represented those local churches, those local organizations, those local literary societies, all things that have been documented by scholars of the 19th century of late.
The meetings were open to the public and posted about beforehand in newspapers. All that is left from these meetings today are their written minutes, but Forman says historians and the public can deduce quite a lot from those records. A notable convention took place in Delaware in 1873.
The 1873 Delaware Convention is an educational convention. It speaks about educational injustice, the ways in which African Americans pay taxes but don't have access to schooling, to schools, to public schooling.
An exhibit on that particular convention is in the works, but no other scholars had written about the Delaware Convention until the Delaware Historical Society brought it to Dr. Forman's attention. Even though famous abolitionist and writer Frederick Douglass spoke at several conventions, and the grandfathers of Langston Hughes and W.E.B. Du Bois were delegates, Forman says the movement has remained fairly invisible in popular history.
And it's a hidden movement that hasn't reached the kind of predominance, the kind of stature that the abolitionist movement and the anti-slavery and underground railroad movement has. One of the reasons we might argue that that is the case is because there's an interracial partnership both in the abolitionist movement and in the underground railroad movement, which sometimes gets represented as white allies and supporters who, through noblesse oblige and the largesse of their generosity, helped victims. But the Color Conventions movement really highlights Black agency, Black leadership, Black organizational power, and the issues that it highlights are issues that continue today.
Although the movement has struggled to find a place in history books, the conventions made things happen. In Mobile, Alabama, for example, delegates helped form Talladega College. Other conventions worked to gather crucial population data.
They reported out census-like data before censuses were taking data on African Americans. So we have, for example, charts and graphs that highlight the Black occupations. We know about barbering. We know about preaching. We know about a select number of Black occupations, but the breadth and the width of the work that was being done, the labor that was being done, is really pretty breathtaking.
Now, Dr. Forman's graduate students and undergraduate students are trying to illustrate these early data gathering techniques through charts and graphs. Forman says echoes of these minutes can be heard in the sociopolitical discourse of today. She says one can see antecedents of the Black Lives Matter movement in conversations of convention goers who were concerned about police presence and legal constrictions on African Americans. The Colored Conventions Project engages undergraduates as well to create pages about certain historically overlooked people of color whose presence impacted the social landscape of the time. Elizabeth Gloucester, for example, was one of the richest women in the 19th century, but she's a little-known figure. At last week's convention, an entire presentation was devoted to her life and influence. And while many of the minutes are still in the process of being transcribed by members of the AME Church and other community stakeholders, the Colored Conventions Project is working to make all the information they've gathered fully searchable.
Transcribes Minutes is one of the initiatives of the project. What it does, it allows us to have the minutes that we have listed to be fully searchable. So if you're interested in, let's say, an ancestor or a historic figure, you would be able to search through all of the minutes that we have put up in order to find that history. Or if you're interested in a building, for example, or music, or how song is connected, or how hymns are connected to the Colored Conventions Project, you can search for those things.
Colored Conventions is also creating a church curriculum, resources for schools, and looking to further their partnerships with national organizations. Ultimately, the project's huge database has the potential to enable a multitude of people to understand Black history in a different way. But perhaps the most important mission of the project is offering historical context, showing that Black organizing and activism dates back to a time when slavery was still legal in the United States. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Ann Hoffman.